We're holding on Mem Amid Alice near the bottom, four lines from the bottom. Still talking about Avadim. Mem Amid Alice. We've been talking about cases where an Eved, where the beginning of the freedom of an Eved has been accomplished, but still the end of it has to be done. We were discussing the pros and cons. When can that be done? When can't that be done? Etc. So another case, how who after the debate today, there was an Eved that belonged to two people, so one of them went and freed his half of the slave, which we'll learn in the next Mishnah, or the next Mishnah after next, actually, is something that can be done, and then you have Chesi Eved and Chesi Ben Chayrin. One freed and the other one didn't. So the other one thinks to himself, Hashta Shami Bi Rabbanon. Now what's going to happen is that Rabbanon are going to hear what happened to Masa Dilemanayah. They're going to make me lose him because we're going to learn two Mishnayos from now, and I'm Aleph and Aleph, that Shammai and Basil argue about what to do with such an Eved. That Shammai pointed out that the Eved has to be able to marry somebody. As a Chesi Eved, a Chesi Ben Chorin, he can't marry anybody, and how can he do that? So therefore, Basil conceded to them that in that case, you have to force the second master to be Mashakra him, and the Eved just owes the money.
The Eved must marry somebody?
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. There's a mitzvah pruvu, but besides that, it's a more general thing, even fine. Avadim aren't mitzvah and pruvu necessarily, but there's a more wide-ranging mitzvah called l'shevet yitzarim. The Eved made the world to be inhabited. Yes, as much as possible, we want to have that men should be able to marry women, and women should be able to marry men. Yeah. So in this case, so the second master figure to himself, that Avadim are going to force me to free him. I don't want to do that. So what he did is he was machne the slave to his young son. Now the son can't be forced by Beis Din to do anything. So there is some discussion about that in Rishonim. Can a son even be machne? But at least he was below 13. That's the point. But he was below 13. I mean, there is a concept maybe of a child can be kind of something to drop on him at least. But yeah, he figured that way he'll get out of it. So Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rava, sent this case to Rava. What should we do about it? So Rav Papa answered him, similar to what the Pasuk says, Kasher also ken yosteloi, as he did, so shall be done to him. Gmulo yoshiv le berosho, let the payback for what he did come back on his own head. Namely, how are we going to do it? Anam kimlon b'yinuka d'makava dai to l'gabi zuzi. We know that children are close in mind to money. You wave some money in front of them, and they're attracted to it. Therefore, mukminin le'apetzrupus. Therefore, we should do is set up an apetzrupus who will be in charge of this child's estate. In this case, including the eved. Or makalkish le'zuzi. This apetzrupus should, or actually, Rashi says it's the eved should now makalkish le'zuzi. The eved now should go and jingle some coins in front of the little kid, which then. The point is, then the child will be willing, you're offering me money, then hey, you know, you're offering me some coins that are jingling over here, then that'll attract him so he'll be willing to have the slave free.
From this discussion, we can infer and we see that the child doesn't have dot. And if he doesn't have dot...
One second, let's... And then he writes a get cheros on his name. Now, whose name? Rashi says that the get shichur is written in the name of the child. The get shichur is written that this child, Pliny, has freed this slave. Tosfos discusses that because Tosfos says yes. If he doesn't have das, then how is that possible? Because he could be, for example, he could have enough das. Rashi quotes over here from something we're going to have later on in our Masechta that have pa'utas, children who are old enough to understand about Mecha Chomemka, who are old enough to understand about buying and selling, then they're buying and selling as valid, at least on a Dirabon level. So this child, we're not talking about a 3-year-old kid, we're talking about a 8, 9, 10, whatever, pa'utas. They're old enough to understand to understand the value of a dollar, The apotropos' job, therefore, Rashi says, is to make sure that the slave should be properly valued. Ultimately, when the slave is freed, his value is going to have to be paid off to the master at some point. In this case, the master being the child. He's not going to know how to evaluate the value of a slave. Therefore, the apotropos' job is to make sure that it's valued correctly. But then Rashi says the get shichur is actually written. Other than that, Rashi says the apotropos has no role to play over here. The eved is the one jingling the coins, and the child is the one on whose behalf the get shichur is being written. Tosfos discusses that a little bit. So Tosfos brings from Rashbam that maybe it means the Get Shichru is written on the name of the Apotropos. Usually an Apotropos does not have the ability, we'll learn in the next paragraph, we're going to have a whole sugya about what Apotropos can and can't do. Usually they don't have the ability to free slaves on behalf of their charges. Let them wait until their charge is grown up and he can decide to do it on his own. In this case, since the father had done something improper in the first place, I mean, machmeh to him, then we can go ahead and do that. That's Rashbam's explanation. Then Rabbi Natam comes in and says, actually, we're not doing it as a knas over here. If it was a knas, the Gemara would have used a different expression, an expression that we had, for example, in Yevamos. Who also shalek to Hagen? He did something improper, therefore we're going to do something back improper to him. Here it's not really a matter of proper or improper. It's if we're doing a din. That the apotropos can actually has the ability to free the slave. How? By effectively selling the slave to himself. By saying, you owe me your own value, I'll take it as a shtar chov on behalf of that, later on you'll pay it back, and on that basis I'll free you. And then various other achronim talk about other possibilities, what it means over here, how the get shichru is written. But the basic idea is that the eved is going to be free.
No loss of the apotropos.
The apotropos is his job again is to make sure that the slave is valued properly. Tosfos Rid talks about that it'll be ultimately the father that the Get Shichru will be written on the name of him, because after all he's the one who started the whole thing in the first place. So
the Beis Din names the Apotropos?
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
And the Apotropos values the Eved?
Yeah, Apotropos figures out the value of the Eved, and then a Get Shichru, then the Eved goes and jingles coins to get the kid to agree so that the kid doesn't protest later on when the Get Shichru is written, so he doesn't protest. And now the Get Shichru is written, and the money will be owed as usual. Turn it on. Ha'omer Asisi Pliny Abdi Ben Chorin. If somebody says, I made my slave so-and-so Ben Chorin, or he said Osri Ben Chorin, or he said he is made Ben Chorin, or Harehu Ben Chorin, or behold, he is Ben Chorin, Harehu Ben Chorin, Esenu Ben Chorin, or he says, I'm not sure why repeats twice Harehu ben Chorin, but okay. Esenu ben Chorin, I will make him a ben Chorin. In all those cases, Rebbe Omekana, in all those cases, Rebbe said he has acquired, because all of these expressions are an equivalent of saying I am, or I will be making him. The Eved acquires himself, yeah, so therefore, in other words, he goes free with that. Vacham say no. All of this is talking about that he wrote it in a shtar. It's not talking about he said it verbally. If he said it verbally, that's not enough to make this Eved free. Even Rebbe would agree to that. Unless he made a kinyan, or unless it was a matter of a shchidmina, Rashi says, but if it was just verbal declaration by a body, none of those have any effect. So if it's an ashtar, though, that's when Rebbe is saying that it has an effect. Whereas the Chachamim would say not, because you're not actually saying in the shtar that this shtar is making you a ben chorin. You're saying, I made him a ben chorin, I will make him a ben chorin, etc. It's like a promise for the future, or you know, whatever. It's not. Yeah.
So it's not really a shtar.
It's not really a shtar shechur. A shtar shechur would be, with this shtar, you are going free. A similar machlokas, turn up bottom line, and a sati saw the plainness of Pliny. If somebody says, I gave such and such a field to Pliny, or nesunah of Pliny, or it's given to Pliny, harei shaloi, or harei shaloi etzmen al Pliny, or it's his, I will give it to Pliny. In all those cases, Rav Meir and Makana, Chachamim like Chana, similar machlokas. And actually, just like in the previous one, it was Rebbe against the Chachamim. Here also, Agai Tabach changes it from Rav Meir to Rebbe. I'm Rav Yechanan b'chol in b'shtar. And again, Rav Yechanan says all these are talking about that it's written in a shtar. Now, besides that first explanation that Rashi says, that what it means is that all these expressions it's talking about that Rebbe or Rav Meir or whatever would say it's valid if it was written in a shtar, and the Chachamim would say not. Rashi brings another possible explanation, which is, maybe it means, once you said one of these things, that you'd still have to write a Get Shichru, or in the case of a field, you said, I gave this field to so-and-so, you would now have to write a Shtar Matana. Rashi says, I have a problem with that. And Eved, fine, you could say that maybe you would think a verbal declaration is enough to start the process of Cheirut, and then the Get Shichru makes it official. by a field, there's no way that you can say verbal declaration, the Chafi, the Pliny, has any effect such that you should now make him write a Shtar Matana. Can't be. So it must be the first explanation. That Rebbe or Remeir is saying, if you wrote one of these things in a Shtar, then it has validity. The Eved is now free, or the Shtar, or the field is now given.
If you wrote that I gave it or I will give it or whatever.
Not this star is what's transferring ownership, right? Okay. Another case. Oh, hello. Yeah, we're back here. Yeah, okay. Another one. Turn it up on. What if somebody says, I made my slave so-and-so a Ben Chorin, and the slave says, he didn't make me a Ben Chorin? Then we have to be concerned, maybe the master did free him, but he was mezake him, a get shichru, through somebody else. Remember, we said before, we talked earlier in the Sefta about whether freeing a slave is a choy for him or a tzchus for him. If we take the view that it's a tzchus, which we argue there, that there might be reason to say that it is, then he might have been mezakeh to him. There's the shtar through somebody else, and the eved doesn't know of it. So therefore, the eved is saying that he didn't free me, but that's just because he doesn't know. What we mean by chashinin over here, Tosfos says that this is one of those examples in Shas where the word chashinin doesn't mean it's a concern. Maybe he did, maybe he not, maybe he didn't. It means it's a chashinin over here means, as it does in a couple of other places in Shas, we know for a fact. We can accept for a fact. Okay, but that's sometimes we find. Sometimes we find. We had earlier in the Sefer that Tosfos brings, for example, the case Chashin and Shem Mei Milan Pasvei, that you have a situation where a husband gives his wife a blank piece of paper saying that it's your get, and we have reason to think he may have written the get with invisible ink. Sometimes we have the Chashin and mean that. Mei Milan, the Gemara calls it over there. So similarly, here Tosfos says that chayshinan means that it's for sure he must have given him a get shichru. Other poetry we talk about, not necessarily chayshinan here, might mean, like it does in the rest of Shas, that there's a chash, maybe he did, maybe he didn't, and therefore he might have to give him another one. What about kasavki v'nasati le'vuah v'loy kasav? What if the master says, I wrote a get shichru and gave it to him, and the slave says he didn't? Well, then you can't talk about ayat achar. Obviously, either he did or he didn't. Then we say, then we say the admission by somebody who's involved in the case against his own interest is the equivalent of 100 eidim. Meaning, in other words, then we take what the eved says as his word. Okay, he hasn't freed you, then in that case you're still an eved.
Even though it could be seen that being eved, it could be looked as a chasar and a maila.
Please,
right?
Yeah, but that's not really. I mean, he himself is admitting that he's an eved, that he hasn't become a ben chorin. No, Tosfos really discusses more. There's the there is the fact when you say, for example, when you're giving somebody something, and he says I didn't receive it, then that's different. I mean, then you can have we're going to have a case of somebody gave, somebody says I gave a field to somebody, and then we're saying maybe zikloy ayda'acher. Let's learn to the Gemara and then we'll talk about the details. Okay. So he said, so Hadas Baldin Kamei Adim Dummy, so the admission by the Baldin, by the Evid, is the equivalent of 100 Adim, so therefore fine, he's not a Mashukar, he's still an Evid. So in other words, the master can still continue using him as an Evid. Similarly, if somebody says, I gave such and such a field to Pliny, the other person says he didn't give it to me. Again, maybe there's the possibility, or Tosfos says for sure, a possibility, that he gave it to him through somebody else, and in that case it's still valid. But the first person says, I wrote out a shtar and gave it to him, and the other one says he didn't give it to me. Then again, I just filed in committee aidum dummy. Then again, we say that the admission by this recipient or supposed recipient is kamea aidum. Therefore, there's no going back from it. That's it. He doesn't own the field.
How can you give a field without a star?
That's the thing. He's saying I gave you a star. The other one's saying I didn't receive it. So fine, you're
produce a star.
Not necessarily, no, because especially for example, for the years later, but whatever. That's not really negative. The point is, he's saying I gave you a star. He's saying I never received a star. Well, fine, you're saying you didn't receive a star. Fine, then you don't own this piece of land.
Like someone says, you know, this house is yours. You say no, I don't own it. It's not mine. So basically, you can do what you want. It's not mine.
So Tosfos talks about the difference that you could have, for example, that he might have been zoche in it. He might have thought that he received it, but wasn't fully zoche in it. With an eved, you can't really say that. So there is a bit of a distinction there, but yeah. The question then becomes mi oichel peres. Fine. In that case, if you have a case like this, where one person says I gave you the field, the other one says I didn't receive it, it's not mine. Who, until we figure out the situation, who gets to eat the peres of this field? So Rav Chista omen noisin oichel peres. Rav Chista says in that case, the original giver eats the peres. Since the other one says I never received it, then it means it's not his. So therefore, there's nothing to talk about.
Right.
The Rabbah Omer Meshalshin is a Peiris. When the Rabbah says, actually, what you do is you put the Peiris under the trusteeship of a third party, actually of Eliyahu, until Eliyahu comes or until one of them, and until we figure out what happens.
Tell the Peiris and you keep
them. You count them, obviously. Yeah.
So,
and the Gemara says, "Veloy Pligi." It's actually not a machlokes. Haba Abba Haba Bara. It depends whether we're talking about the father or we're talking about the son, namely. If the original Makabel himself is still alive, this is how Rashi learns it. If the original Makabel is still alive and he says, I never received it, I never got this field, fine. Then in that case, the payers go to the original to the original giver. However, if he dies and his son says that you're saying you gave this field to my father, I don't think you ever gave it to him, then in that case, we put it in trusteeship. We put it by a shalish, the son of the Makabel.
Of the Makabel.
Not that, but the Makabel. Why? Because what if Adam come that actually he did give it to his father? Remember, when we're saying over here, he's saying he didn't receive it. But ultimately, it could be possible that Adam might come and say, if it was the father himself, we said, Hajas bal dintamei Adam dummy, so even if Adam come and contradict him, that's not going to undo anything. It's still going to be fine. You have two Adam against two Adam. It doesn't change anything. But if the son's Hajar is not Kamei Adam dummy, he may not know the situation. So therefore, if he says, you never gave it to my father, eventually Adam show up and say, you did give it to him, then willy-nilly, it's his. So then in that case, better in that case, that's what Rabbi is saying, put the Peiris with a shalish, with a third party in escrow until we can figure out, until maybe Adam come and we get the matter straightened out.
Cannot sell the field?
Well, the field, neither of them can sell the field at this point because the Noisin can't give it because what if it's not his anymore? And the Makabel can't because he claims he didn't. Yeah,
he's taking care of it. He's taking Paris.
Good question. Okay.
So not only is the Paris in this trouble, also the field in
it. Well, the field itself, I mean, the field stays in one place, right? Okay. You could argue the field itself is still in the possession. The original person does have Chazok on it, after all.
Yeah,
that's Chazok on it. It's a pastor that counts for something.
He has Chazok of it, so can he sell it or he cannot?
Maybe he can. Actually, I don't know. I didn't see any discussion about that one way or the other. Good question. I don't know. Mishnah says, Eved sha'asoi rabbi apostiki la'acherim. If there's an Eved who his master made him an apostiki for somebody else, an apostiki, it means sort of like a mortgage. Okay, so where the word apostiki comes from? We've talked about it before. We talked about it in Exodus, I think. In a few places, it actually explains that it comes from the word apoi tehei koi. On this, the debt should stand. And apostiki basically is you tell somebody, I borrowed money from you, or otherwise, in some other situation, I owe you money. I'm designating this eved or field or what have you that this is going to be. If I default on the loan and I don't pay back, this is what you're going to collect from. And actually, we're going to discuss, as we get through the Gemara, we're going to discuss there's a difference between there's a couple of different kinds of apusiki. There can be an apusiki stam, where you say you're entitled to collect from this, but if, for example, this one is not available, then there'll be other ones. You still have my other nechassim that you can collect from. Versus there can be an apusiki mefurdish that you're saying this is the only thing that you're going to be entitled to collect from. Obviously, they've had to agree to this ahead of time, but if he agrees to this is the only one. This one, if I sell this one or otherwise it becomes unavailable, tough luck. That's called an apotikima purush.
What's it called? Apotikima purush?
Yeah.
Only on this one.
Only on this one. There's no shibud on anything else. As opposed to apotikis kam, the shibud is primarily on this, but secondarily on other things. So where the word apotiki comes from, so Rashi in a few places says that it comes from the word apotikai, the it should stand on this, meaning the debt is standing, it's standing to be collected based on this. The Rambam talks about maybe that slightly differently, apotikne, on this you will be koine. And the Tiferet Yisrael says that actually it comes from a Greek word, iputiki in Greek, because it's related to the word hypothesis, and whatever in English means like something that that you may eventually use it to pay back a debt or something like that.
And it means less ownership.
So Eved Shasoy Rabbi Apostiki Lachayim. So suppose you have Eved was made as an Apostiki for somebody else. The Shichrevoy, and he freed him. Which one of the two of them are we talking about freedom? The Gemara will be. The Gemara is going to lead you. We'll just learn the Mishnah, just the pshat of the words. We're just going to learn the taich of the words because the meaning of what the case, what the Mishnah is talking about, that the Gemara is going to discuss. So the Shichrevoy, and he freed him. Shura Sadin Eina Eved Chayev Kum. From the strict letter of the halacha, the Eved does not owe anything. Elam of Tikkun HaOlam, but because of Tikkun HaOlam, because of making society work properly, Kofin as Rabbi, we force his master, the Othos of Ben Choren, to make him a complete free person, the Kofin Shtar al-Domov, and he writes a Shtar for his value. Rav Shimon Gamliel, ain't a Kofin Elam Meshachar. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, only the one who's Meshachar of him, not writes. Only the one who's freeing him is the one who writes the Shtar. Well, it would have been the Eved. On the face of it would have been the Eved who was writing the Shtar, but wait.
Oh, because he bought himself out?
Let's learn the Gemara, and then we'll go through the possibilities. Yeah. So, the Gemara says, Eved Shasar Rabbi Apasikim Shichroi, Mi Shichroi, which one of the two of them, the original owner, or the one to whom he was made an Apasiki, who's coming to collect his debt now?
Oh.
Amar Rav, Rabbi Rishon, we're talking about what happened is his first master was the one who freed him. Therefore, we understand the Mishnah as follows. The Shichra means the first master freed him. Therefore, when the Mishnah continues, Shurus Adin and Eved Chayev Plum means the Rabbi Sheni. Based on the strict letter of Halacha, the Eved should not owe anything to the second master. The Guf was not his kinyan in the first place. There was only a Shibud. The first person, by freeing him, took away that Shibud. So the Eved himself doesn't owe anything. Kidder Rava, and this would be like what Rava says, Amar Rava, Hektish Chalitz V'Shichru Mafkin Midei Shibud. That if you have something that was supposed to be under a Shibud to somebody else, and you makdish it, so for example, let's say you made your ox an Apusiki to somebody, and then you will makdish it. So the fact that now this ox has Kedusha Zaguf, that takes away the Shibud.
What about if it was a Shibud Mephorash, as we said?
Doesn't matter. Nevertheless. Now, Rashi says that this only works with Kedushas Aguf. If you had instead said that this ox has Kedushas Damim, that wouldn't take away the Shibud. There's a number of opinions among Rishonim on this. The Rambam says that it applies. The Rambam says it applies to Hektish Damim as well, and he says it applies to land as well. Not just to Metalpilin, but also to land. There's a few different opinions in Rishonim whether it applies to land or only to Metalpilin. Does it apply to Kedushas Aguf only, like Rashi says, or to Kedushas Damim as well? The Rambam is maximal. And if the Rambam says any kind of Hektish takes away the Shibud. Chametz is a case, for example, that you have a guy had lent a Jew money. The Jew made chametz. The Jew took some chametz and made that an apotiki, that the guy can collect his loan from that. The chametz is still in the Jew's possession, come Pesach. The issue of chametz comes and takes away the shibud. Because now the chametz is also bana.
Actually, goes into the hands of the guy.
But it doesn't. If he sold it to him ahead of time, if he did mechiras chametz, fine. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about it was still in the Jew's possession. So therefore, it becomes also like any chametz shavu all of a Pesach. That's chametz. And shichrur, similarly, our case over here. You had a slave, which was an apostiki, and you freed him. All those mafkin migay shibud. All those undo the shibud, and therefore, that's it. There's no more shibud. So therefore, technically then, the second... Technically, therefore, the shichru takes effect, and there's no more shibud.
In the case of chametz, goy can take it.
He can't, because it's also bana. At this point, the goy is not going to care, but for the yid, it's also bana. Yeah, so he can't now say, "I'm giving you take this chametz, and that'll pay off my loan." He can't, because it's also bana to him. He's going to have to find something else to pay it off with. Tosfos points out from various Gemaras, a couple of other cases where we see that something is meshubad and then it's used for a different purpose and then it's no longer under a shibud. One of them was a case that we had in Ksubas where a garment was used as tachrichim and it became altabana. Another case could be, let's say, a person made his shur an apostiki, for example, and then he went and bowed down to it. It becomes also bahana. Now it becomes also as avodah zarah. Yeah. The Tosfos says those are actually included in hektish. When we say hektish, it means anything where it's off limits for use. So that includes those things. Anyway. So far, in other words, if it were only that, then we would say that fine, that's it. There's no more shibud, but the eved himself is not obligated in anything. However, there is the matter of tikkun olam. That the second person may find this eved one day in the street and say to him, "You're my eved," which then actually says, "Will cause that people are going to question the yichus of this eved's children." We don't want that. So because of now, why the children? Rabbi Akiva Eger asked him, "Goyin Ashas, why are we worried about a laz on himself, on the eved himself?"
When it becomes free, he's allowed to marry.
He's allowed to marry Bas Chayyim, and that's the point. But if he's still an Eved, so actually, Rabbi Akiva Eger asked the question. Never mind. Why are we mentioning the children, not him? The halacha is that if an Eved has relations with a Bas Yisrael, even though he's also two, the children are kosher. They're pogum, but there's a kosher love of a call. So why are we worried about a laz on the children rather than a laz on him? Okay, so he himself and Mishnayis, Rabbi Akiva Eger himself, and then in Tosfos, Rabbi Akiva Eger on Mishnayis gives an answer. Although I actually don't remember it right now. Different Harunim talk about different possibilities. One of them being just practically speaking, himself. Fine, we can eventually figure out the situation. The children, if there's a laws put out on them, it may never get resolved, and that's going to cause a real problem for them.
The whole generation dies.
Yeah, exactly. So because of that, Kofenes Rabbi Sheni, we force the second master, the Oso is a Ben Chorin, that he should make him a complete Ben Chorin. Because of Eved Shtar Al Domav, and therefore we tell the Eved, now you, since this second master should have been able to keep you as an Eved, we're forcing him to free you because of this Tikkun Olam. Therefore you owe him the value that he lost by having to free you.
Why didn't we go to the first Eved? You freed him, you have to give
Because we're going to get to in a second whether a person is mazik, somebody's shibud. Wait, that's what we're going to explain. Rav Shimon Gamliel ain't an eved kosev ala meshacher kosev. So now continues the Mishnah that Rav Shimon Gamliel says the eved does not write the shtar. The meshacher, the one who freed him, namely the first master, writes the shtar, and he's the one who owns the second master. Why? But my kumifligi mazik shibud shachaber kumifligi. They're arguing on the question if somebody damages somebody else's shibud. So again, remember, this eved does not actually belong to the second master outright yet. He's only under a shibud to him. The first one damaged that shibud by freeing him. Now the second one is not able, because of the tekanim of tekun olam, he's not able to keep him as a slave. So, are you chayiv for being mazik, somebody's shibud? Demar sava chayiv is the first one, yeah. Demar sava chayiv, Demar sava potter. So,
under shibud, how can you?
That's what we said. Chometz v'shibud, hektish, chometz v'shichur, makin midei shibud. Fine, that's all three cases: hektish and chometz and shichur.
What's the reason?
The reason is because all of those have power. Hektish, the fact of the matter is, it belongs. All these things.
Shichur itself.
Same idea. You owned an eved. Now you're able to free him. Doesn't matter. The same principle is the same way as you can sell a field. I mean, okay, in this case, you're preventing the other person from exercising this shibud over it, but that's all he had, a shibud. He didn't have a full ownership. The mar sava chayev, mar sava potter. So now Rav Shimon Gamliel would hold you chayev for that. Therefore, the first owner was chayev to repay the second one. Well, mar sava potter, whereas the Tanakama would hold you potter, and therefore, so why are we putting it on the Eved? Because the Eved is benefiting from the fact that now the second one is giving him a shtar shichur and making him a complete ben chorin.
He didn't cause it,
but nevertheless, somebody has to reimburse the second. According to the Chachamim, you can't say that would be a case maybe of grummer. It would be a case of an indirect hezek. There's actually the Gemara. Well, it is indirect. It's not. He didn't directly take away the
he
freed him. He took away the shibud, but it doesn't mean that he can't be paid. It means that especially if it's a shibud stam, there's still other property of his that he could potentially collect from. But fine.
We get Malkus
Blood of the is a mitzvah asset. So if you violate it, there's an issue asset. There's no punishment for violating an issue asset.
No.
A person can bring an oila for being oila on an asset. But besides that, we mentioned before there's various exceptions where it doesn't apply. Tosus points out that actually that there is a concept in a few places in Shas where it talks about dina de garmi. There's groma and there's garmi. What the difference is between them, there's a great deal of discussion among the Rishonim that Ramban wrote a whole kuntzrit called Dina Degarmi, discussing what's groma, which you're potter on, and what's garmi, which you're chayav on. Tosfos says, even if you say that Dina Degarmi, you're potter, in this case, still there might be a possibility that maybe you're mazik shibut chavere, that's more than garmi, maybe you'd be chayav for that.
But
again,
the difference between
garmi and groma, again, when we get to it, and Baba Kama will discuss it at some length, Rez Hashem, but there's a lot of different possibilities that Ramban talks about, and other Rishonim talk about what the difference is. But anyway, here this might even be more than, this might even be stronger than Garmi, and therefore maybe the original owner will be hired, or maybe not.
Just think a little bit, this Evan who's free, say, I didn't tell my boss to free me. Why should I take my money? I should pay myself out to give you money. Because I was a shibud, I didn't ask for a shibud,
right.
And why should I be what I'm paying?
Because nevertheless, you're gaining from the fact that you could argue the first owner didn't gain anything from being meshacher him.
Right.
The Eben himself is gaining something. He's now a ben chorin. He may not have asked for it, but now the fact is he's a ben chorin where he wasn't poor. Therefore, maybe that maybe would be reason enough to obligate him to
pay
back.
This could be for 50 years of work. That's a lot of money.
I agree with you.
Maybe. Yes. I mean, not necessarily would he have to be paying the whole thing anyway. Rashi says al domov, which implies maybe the whole value of him. The Rashash wants to say maybe it's not the whole value. Maybe it's only the extra value over the chayv, because the second master is going to be collecting the chayv anyway in some other way from the original owner.
That's only if he made a general view.
Only if it was an after tikkun sham, yeah.
Okay.
Does the Eved have the right to be consulted on whether or not he can pay back, even if he benefited, which he did, rather than just assigning him to the second master without his consent?
The same way that you don't need an Eved's consent to sell him in the first place. You don't need an Eved's consent to be mishach for him.
No. Once his shicher is he's free, he is not really an Eved.
Fine, but at this point, because of the takana, because of the tikkun olam, we're saying that he should be completely free. So, yeah. Itmanami, and in fact, they had a discussion on this very point. Hamazik shibud shachaveri, that if somebody damages somebody else's shibud, that is exactly the machlokas. So according to that, then that's the crux of the machlokas here in the Mishnah.
Do we know that the final?
The halacha, it depends whether the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel or like Rav Chachamim. Usually we say, we learned the other day, that in general Rav Yechanan says whenever Rav Shimon Gamliel says an opinion in the Mishnah, the halacha is like him. So in that case, then it would mean the halacha is like him. But in that case, even against the Chachamim,
he says what?
He's saying that the Meshacher, according to Rav's explanation, the first master is the one who's on the hook for the money. He's the one who writes out the
Meshacher. A free guy, if he's really free, I don't let him do anybody. I am free.
Well, you still have to work for a living, but yeah.
But you watch the things as the second master's, that's called nothing free.
I don't know about that, but okay. Okay. Ula says another explanation. Mi shichru rabbi sheni. No, actually, the case in the Mishnah is talking about the second master, the one to whom he was made an apostiki. The Baal Chayv is the one who freed him. Which, by the way, Maharam Shif points out, in that case, maybe, if according to Rav's explanation, the word in the Mishnah is shichru roi, that he freed him. Maybe if we're talking about a point, if it's talking about the second one, it's not necessarily one person. The expression was achayrim in the Mishnah. Maybe it should be v'shichru and they freed him.
Second master.
The second one. Yeah.
Why is it called ru? Why is it called that?
Because it could be plural. Because it could be plural. It could be more than one person that he owes money to. Yeah. Therefore, so let's explain it as follows. Shura sadin ene evet chayim klum means b'mitzvahs. In principle, if the second person who doesn't actually own him, he only has a shibud on him, frees him, the Eved shouldn't be considered a ben chorin at all. He shouldn't be chayev in mitzvahs. When you say chayev doesn't mean money, it means he's chayev to do mitzvahs. Elam of netikun olam, but because of tikun olam, shayev yotzal of shem ben chorin, because already he's known to the public as being a ben chorin, kofenas rabbi, rishon, therefore, according to this, will force his first master, And that the first one, the one who originally owned him, should make him completely free. Because of Shtar Adamov, and then the Eved is going to write out a Shtar for his value. And again, he doesn't have to write it, rather the Meshacher writes it. Meshacher, in this case, being the second one, he would be the one who writes out who would write out the Shtar Shechriyah. Well, but that's the thing. We're saying that he had the ability, at least, to start being Meshacher him to the extent that now he's considered a Ben Chorin. So, but my Kumbitzvigi, what's the machlokas between Rahab and Ula? Rather, what's the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamliel? The Hezek Shein and Nikr Kumbitzvigi. Then they would be arguing about the concept of Hezek Shein and Nikr. If you had, in this case, what do you do? We're going to have a sugya about Hezek Shein and Nikr in the next paragraph. We're going to have a nice long sugya about it. Hezek Shein and Nikr is basically you cause somebody a Hezek, but there's no actual change in the object. Okay. Cases that we're going to have over there, for example, imagine for example, you take somebody's parah duma and you do work with it. As far as anybody, which is a nezek, because now before the parah duma was worth $1 million, and now it's worth whatever any other cow is worth. Yeah, it's a big nezek, but it has a chain in nicker because there's no visible change on the parah. There's other examples that give over there. You take somebody's truma and you matame it. It looks exactly the same. But before it was tar and you could eat it, and now it's tame and all you can use it as far as firewood.
Otherwise, it's the same, but almost the same.
Yeah.
But you cannot sell it.
It
loses its...
Right, but that's the point.
It is.
Yeah, so that's the question. Is Hezek Shein and Nikr Mar Sova Shmei Hezek or Mar Sova Loi Shmei? Or Mar Sova Loi Shmei Hezek? So, the Reb Shimon Gamliel would say that is considered a Hezek. Therefore, the second person has caused the Hezek. Therefore, the second person, by freeing him, has caused the hezek to the first one. Now I don't have an eved anymore. Therefore, it's only right that the second person should be writing a shtar to the first one that I owe you that money.
The second master. The second master had the shibud.
He had the shibud, but he didn't actually own the right. The eved was owned by the first person. So therefore, if we say hezek chen and nikah shmei hezek, he caused him a hezek. Fine, then therefore he owes him money for it.
At what point can you say, okay, now you're mine? They written in the contract, and then it's in the contract.
So if he defaulted on it, and then you're saying, since it was an apostiki, then I'm entitled to go take him, yeah. Umar Sovaloshme Hezek, where if a chaman would hold, it's not considered a hezek. You can't make somebody pay for nezek chein and nikr. We will talk about, when we learn about it in the next paragraph, we'll talk about maybe midrabanan, you have to, but at least on the basic level midrashic, you don't have to. So therefore, there's no shtar to be written.
Put a yoke on a paraduma worth $1 million.
But it doesn't matter. According to the opinion, nezek chein and nikr lo shmei nezek, then that's it. Yes, there's a hezek, but we'll learn about it then. Because there's no actual hezek. There's a monetary hezek, of course, but there's no visible hezek, basically.
Visible doesn't mean there's no hezek.
Okay. We'll talk about it then. We'll talk about it on the days and gimel. So, Ula, my time of the Rabbi Karab, why doesn't Ula agree with Rab's understanding of the Mishnah that the one who freed him to begin with was the first person? Amalach, he'll say, Shani Rabbi Kardislai, because what are you saying then? Ula, my time of the Rabbi Karab, where Rab had said that it's the second master that has to be forced to make him a Ben Chor. Now, what does the Mishnah say? Because that's Rabbi. So Ula argues, Shani Rabbi Kardislai, how can he call the second one his master? He's not his master, he only has a shibud on him. So it makes more sense that the first one is the one who has to be forced. Why would he have to? Mistama, because the second one is the one who initiated the whole procedure.
Why would he what?
How can he call the second one his master? Right. So it must be the second one is the one who started the procedure of freeing him, and therefore now we're forcing the first master to finish the job. Rab, my time, Alem Akula, and Rab, why doesn't he say Akula? Amalach Sheni Meshachar Kursley, because he says the other way around. Rab Shimon Gamliel says that only the Meshachar is the one who has to write the Shtar. So Rab says, it makes more sense to say that the Meshacher means the first one, the one who actually has the ability to be Meshacher him. The second one doesn't really have any ability to be Meshacher him. How can you say Ein Kosev El Meshacher means the second one has to be writing a Shtar according to Rav Shimon Gamliel? How can you call him a Meshacher? How can you call him the one who has the ability to free this Eved when he doesn't really own that Eved?
If he
falls on his own, if he does, then of course, then we're not talking about that case. We're talking about before. This is before, yeah. While there's still only a ship. So Rav focuses on the word, so Ula focuses on the word Rabbi, and Rav focuses on the word Meshacher.
Rabbi means the second.
So that's the thing. You would have to say Rabbi can mean the first or the second one, but Ula takes the view that Rabbi, it makes more sense, means the first one, who actually is his master. And Rav takes the view that Meshacher is more logical to mean the first one, the one who actually has the ability to be Meshacher.
So in both cases, the first one.
Yeah. Fine, but the because Rabbi and Meshacher are the two opposing parties over here.
It doesn't make a difference.
No, it does. If Rabbi is the first one, Meshacher is the second one. If Rabbi is the second one, Meshacher is the first one. So whichever one you focus on, that's more likely than the first one. You're going to have to understand the Mishnah accordingly.
So Ula, Rabbi means the second one or the first one?
He has to say that necessarily, because Ula says that Rabbi must mean the first one. Therefore, by default, yes, Meshacher will have to be the second one.
And vice versa.
And vice versa. Now we have a discussion like this. Somebody makes this field in Apusiki for somebody else, the shot for Nahar, and then the field was flooded by rain, so now it's not usable anymore. And Rashi actually says, we're not just talking about it was flooded and then eventually the water will drain away and it'll be usable again. We're talking about it's permanently gone. It's permanently underwater. So, Ami Shapir Noah Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Ami Shapir Noah, that was his name. Shapir Noah literally means the handsome one. So he says, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Eina Goyim Meshav Nechassim, the Baal Chayv is not able to collect from any other Nechassim. That's it. Tough luck on him.
Well,
that's what we're going to talk about. Ma'avur Shmuel Amar Goyim Meshav Nechassim. The father of Shmuel says, you can collect from other Nechassim. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Mishum De Ami Shapir Noah, just because Ami is this handsome guy, Oyma Shmaitzah Deloy Shapiran. Therefore, what is he saying? Something that's not so beautiful, something that's not correct? How is that possible? How is it? What do you mean that just because there's a field that's flooded, he's stuck and he can't collect from anything else? So it was an apusiki, big deal. To tagim shmaite, it must be. You have to explain. Must be that he actually made it an apusiki mefurish. He said you can only collect from this one. So therefore, in other words, Ami and Avur Shmuel are not really arguing. They're talking about two different cases. He's talking about where it's an apusiki mefurish, so therefore there's nothing else to collect from. And Avur Shmuel is talking about an apusiki stam, and then fine, you have other things you can collect from. Tani nami hachi, how he says there apusiki la'achah b'shat v'nar. If somebody makes his field an apusiki for somebody else, and then a field, and then a river floods it, go to Meshan Nechassim, then he can collect from other Nechassim, like Avur Shmuel says. V'im amaloy lo yehe l'chapah. Because it was an apusiki stam, right? But if he says you can only be paid from this, that's an apusiki mefurish, and it doesn't mashan nechassim, then that's it. You can't collect from any other nechassim. Tani edach, we learn in another
one. You didn't say mefurish?
No, im amalei lo yehela chaperayin ala mizu is an apusiki mefurish.
Yeah, but it has to say.
That would have to be, yeah, otherwise it would, yeah. After. Tanya Idach, we learn in another place. So, Ha'isa Sadeh Rapasiki Labal Chayv Volaksubas Isha. Suppose a person made it out of a field in Rapasiki for a creditor or for a ksuba. Go to Meshar Nechassim, then they can collect from other Nechassim. If they can collect from other Nechassim, which Rashi says to you, go to Meshar Nechassim. Rashi and Tosfos both say that it means that actually the person who owes the money, or the husband who owes the Ksubas Isha, is actually allowed to sell that field and leave it up to the woman or the Baal Chayv to collect from any of his other fields. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Baal Chayv goes from Meshach Nechassim. Yeah, when it comes to the Baal Chayv, I agree, he can collect from other Nechassim. Isha ain't a goes from Meshach Nechassim. When it comes to a woman, then no, you can't collect from other Nechassim. She has to be able to get this one, which means she has a stronger position. Yeah, meaning you can't allow him to sell that and then. Why? Because it's not usual for a woman to have to go schnuck around to all the batidinim. Why b'chlal? why b'chlal would they, when they made up the suba originally, why would she have said that I want to be paid dafka out of this field? Because she doesn't want the hassle afterwards, instead of saying kol nechase achroin l'ksuba, as you usually do, because she doesn't want the hassle that after he divorces her or after he dies, that she's going to have to go schlep around and find out which field was sold, which one was, who bought this one, and take each person individually to base it. She wants one definitive one that she's going to get from.
What comes up with this?
It doesn't change.
Tosfos says that if he sells it, then the sale will be bottled. Not necessarily though. If it gets flooded, does that mean she can't collect from anything else? We said it was on a pasiki. We didn't say it was an apasiki mafurish. He didn't say you could only collect from this one. Even an apasiki stam, why would she do an apasiki stam instead of just the regular situation of the tsuba? That everything in the tsuba, because she wasn't allowed to have to bother schlepping from one to the other. But if this one taka is unavailable, let's say it got flooded, then yeah, the pashtus, she would have the right to go to any of the other ones.
So what? She would?
Unless it was an apasiki mafurish, yeah.
It seems to imply here she doesn't have to say anything and it will be mafurish. Because she's a woman.
No, what we're saying is that unlike with the Baal Choy, where even an Apasiki stam, you have the ability to sell it and tell the Baal Choy, tough luck, collect from one of my other fields.
Right.
With an issue, you can't do that.
Right.
Yeah, but that's the difference. In other words, but if
she doesn't stay.
But that's an Apasiki stam. You don't have the ability to sell this field. But if it wasn't, but if you have it and it got flooded, then the pastress, it's still she's still no worse than a chayv. She can go and collect from other fields.
In a regular case, she couldn't.
In a regular case, there wouldn't be an apotiki at all. In a regular case, she would just collect from any property of his.
In a regular case of apotiki, she would not. But in a flooded case with flood, she would not. That's what we're saying?
It sounds like she can't take that one, so necessarily she's going to have to take some other one, unless it was an apostiki mefurish, but we're not talking about that.
Yeah, but if you're like, let's typical of the, years back in those fields, right?
Yeah.
When you read the ksuba without the woman knowing anything, the husband would be allowed to sell the field that was written as chayis or not.
No, that's the thing. Are we talking about that one specific field was written as a chayis or not? Or are we talking about the usual way of suba is that you say, all my nechassim are under a chayis. So then, obviously, there's no issue. He can sell whatever he wants, and afterwards she'll go to base in and start collecting. Here we're talking about, to begin with, when the ksuba was written, she specifically designated one field, I would like to get my ksuba paid out of this one. But we're not making it enough speaking of furish that I can only be paid out of this one, and therefore if it gets damaged, then tough luck. No, we're making an apostiki stam. This is the one that I expect to be paid out of. I prefer it to be paid out of this one. Therefore, you don't have the ability. Therefore, you don't have the ability to sell it. But if it gets flooded, then
yeah.
Right. Mishnah says, "Mishnah ketzi ben chor." And if you have somebody who's half free and half slave and half free, over the rabbi yom echad ve'atzma yom echad. He works for his master for one day and for himself for one day. So he alternates back and forth. Give it a mishilo. Fine, by doing that, you fixed up things for his master. His master is not losing anything out of it. You haven't fixed up things for him because there's a famous mission. It's brought in a few places in Shas. Lisa Shifcha and Iyak. Sure, he can't marry a Shifcha because half of him is already free. Lisa Baschur and Iyak. Sure, he can't marry a free Jewish woman. Because half of them is still Eved, and Eved is also to marry a Bas Chorin. Bas Chorin means a free woman. But it means free woman means that she's Jewish. Shekhlachetzi Eved, he's half Eved. You bought it, so should he go unmarried and not have the ability to have children? But the world was only created for the sake of Pru Agu. One second, we'll talk about that. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Lo Yitayu Bra L'Shevet Yitzara. The Eibishter did not create the world for emptiness, he created it to be settled. So you're talking about what about a Yid versus a Goy. So actually, that Tosfos says that's precisely why the Gemara didn't bring the pasuk of Pru Agu. Pru Agu, you could argue, doesn't apply to Avadim. Especially because the children of an Eved don't follow him in Yichus. We talked about this yesterday, that the children of an Eved aren't considered to have any Yichus after him. So Pru Avu is not really relevant to an Eved. But Loy L'Toru B'ral, L'Shevet Yitzara, is relevant to everybody. Avodim, as well as regular Jews, the Shiltas talks about that it applies to Goyim as well. Before we get to the Tikkun Olam, Tosfos points out a couple of interesting possibilities. First of all, why don't we say that he can marry a? Why don't we say that this? First of all, why taka not? Why shouldn't we say, for example, First of all, Tosfos says that he can't be Mekayim Piri Rivia anyway, because half of him that's an Eved, the children won't go after him. So what are we worried about? The Tosfos says because if it were possible for him to do Puruvu as a Chetzi Eved v'Chetzi Ben Chorin, that wouldn't be a valid reason to force his master to free him. Only because he can't accomplish Moshevis Hitzara, therefore because he can't marry anybody, therefore that's reason enough. So that's one possibility. Tosfos says, why can't he marry somebody who's half and half like him? And basically the answer is because you can't, because every part of him is half and half, so therefore you have the part of him that's a Ben Chorin is having relations with a Shifcha, and vice versa, and that's still an issue. Sometimes Tosfos talks about other possibilities. For example, Tosfos discusses why can't he marry a Mamzeris? A mamzeres is allowed to marry a ben chorin. Is allowed to marry an eved v'shechur, a freed slave. They're also allowed to marry an eved who's still an eved. So actually, the Gemara in Kedush, the Mishnah in Kedushin tells us that this is a way in which mamzerim can remove the mamzeres from their future generations. Suppose you have a situation over there that a mamzer marries a shikha, the children go after her, so therefore they're considered avadim. Now he frees them, they become avodim v'shachar, they become full-fledged Jews, and not mamzer, without being mamzer. So why in this case can't this chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin marry a mamzer? And Tosfos says, true, he could, but we don't want there to be more mamzerim among the Jewish people. So therefore, that's because the children go according to the mother.
Mother.
So then the mother is a mamzer, so they're going to be considered mamzerim. We don't want that. A couple of other possibilities.
The mamzeris do choose to have their children...
She can't, actually. There isn't a way, because there isn't a way, yeah. This is the chod of mamzerim, the Torah only applies to male mamzerim, yeah.
The woman was a mamzer or not? A man was a mamzer.
He marries a woman who is a shivcha, and the children are considered avadim. But it wouldn't work the other way around. A mamzeris can marry an eved, it is true, but the children will still be mamzerim.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Elam, a tikkun olam, so for the sake of tikkun olam, kofinus rabbi, we should force his master to free him, but also vote his mechorin, that he should free him, because of shtar achatzi damav, and the eved should write out a shtar for half of his value that he's going to eventually have to repay back. Because Vasil holds kedivu bet shammai, and Vasil will eventually change their mind and agreed with bet shammai on that. There's a few examples like that in Shas where Bishamah Basil had an argument and Basil ended up conceding to Bishamah. They're all in the Masechta Eidias and they're scattered in their respective places in Shas.
And Bishamah conceded to Basil.
I don't know if there are any cases where Bishamah conceded to Basil, but I don't remember.
What did Bishamah and Basil?
So Bishamah is saying that you have to force the master to free him completely. Basil originally said, let him just continue working half and half, one day for his master, one day for himself. And Bashamit pointed out, so Basil agreed that you can't do that long term, you have to force him. Talking about it, I'm a shakar chatzi abde. If somebody frees half of his slave, Rebbe says that the slave has been according to himself, he now becomes half ben chorin, and the chum say not. Omer Rav, machloikus b'shtar. The machloikus is only if he freed him using a shtar. The Rebbe saw the Rebbe figures like this. Where do we know in the Pasuk, we quoted this Pasuk the other day, about how we learn how an Eved Kanani or Shifu Kanani becomes free? The Pasuk mentions two things. The Hofde Lo Nifdasa Eichuf Shalenitan La. Hofde Lo Nifdasa means she was not bought out with money, which implies that money is one way of an Eved Kanani or Shifu Kanani becoming free. Which means the shtar was not given to her. So therefore, Rebbe thinks like this. The hoftele nifdasa el chufsha lenitla, makish shtar lekeset. It means the pasuk is telling us a hekish between shtar and money. Makeset ben kula ben chet. Just like when it comes to money, an eved can be bought out completely, or he can be bought half. He can have half the money to free himself, and half becomes free. Af shtar nami ben kula ben chet, the same way a shtar can be half or complete. Rabbanan gamri loch ve'isha. Whereas the Rabbanan learned by Exeter Shava, Eichuf Shalonitan Loh, and because of Loh, Fecha Krisis, by again. Therefore, Ma Isha Chetzeloi, just like a woman can't be half divorced, Af Evans, Nami Chetzeloi, the same thing when it comes to a star, an Evan can't be half free. Aval Bekesif Debra Hakokana, Peduya Ve'ena Peduya. But when it comes to money, yes, everybody would agree that the Eved is koina, or the Shivcha is koina, that half, and therefore Peduya Ve'ena Peduya. They would have a case which is half free and half not. That's the pasuk we mean, V'hofke lo niftasa. She's that Shivcha Charufa we talked about the other day. The Shivcha Charufa is where she's chetzi Eved, chetzi Shivcha, v'chetzi Maschur. She's half free, half slave. How is that? Because V'hofke lo niftasa. Half her value was paid off, half was not.
She was paid by being freed.
But yeah, either somebody gave her the money on condition that her master doesn't own any of that money, and therefore she gave that to him to free half of herself.
Right.
Or again, you know, there could be the case of two shirtfim that we talked about before, and which we'll talk about later.
That's because they said half day wasn't
instead of saying lo niftasa, right? Because it says half day lo niftasa implies there was a pidyon, but it wasn't a complete pidyon.
So she paid the other half, she gets free.
Then she'll get free, yeah.
She had a choice. I mean, it's up to her. Her master can't say, no, I don't want you to redeem yourself.
Right. As far as I know, yeah. Lema b'hokam b'sugi. So should we say then that Rebbe and the Chachamim are arguing based on the following point? Maybe Rebbe holds that a hekesh is stronger than a gzeira shava. Therefore, we have a choice. Do we learn from the Hekesh to Kesef that therefore half of it is good? Or do we learn from the Gzeira Shava to guess that half is not good? We should prefer the Hekesh. And the Rabbanon hold that we should prefer the Gzeira Shava, and therefore we'd rather learn from a Get. A Get can't be by halves, and neither can a Shtar.
One general is stronger, is there?
That's what we're asking. That's what we're asking. Maybe the Chachamim would say that the Gzeira Shava is stronger. The answer is Lloyd. The Kulam of Gzeira Shava are different. No, actually, everybody would agree that the Gzeira Shava is better. Why? Rashi says two reasons. First of all, when you have a Gzeira Shava, many times you're going to have that the word we're using for the Gzeira Shava on one or both sides is Mufne. We've talked about this before. We learned about it in Yoma. We learned about it here and there in different places. That it's available. The word is not needed for the Pshat of the Pasuk. The Pasuk could have been understood without that word. Therefore, that having that word Mufne over there is practically the equivalent of having the Din actually written in the Torah. That's first of all.
It's really inviting us to
say. Yeah. Second of all, Rashi says, even if the Gzeira Shava is not Mufne, nevertheless, the fact is that Gzeira Shava is something that has to be learned by Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. A Hekesh is something that a person can come up with on their own. But the Gzeira Shava, we know a person can't come up with on their own. So therefore, it should be stronger. So everybody will agree that the Gzeira Shava is stronger. The Shiny Hacha, but it's different over here, Rebbe would say, the Ikla Mifrach, because you can shlog up the Gzeira Shava, Mala Ishish Kein Eni Yotze V'Kesem. A woman, the Chlau, can't be freed from her marriage using money at all. So therefore, there's no reason to compare it. Term of Eved to Yotze V'Kesem, how can you compare it to an Eved who goes free with Kesem? So therefore, it's more logical to compare two methods of an Eved himself than to compare with an Ishish, which is a whole different kind of thing. That's one way of understanding the Machlokas, like Rabba. V'Rab Yosef, I'm a Machlokas of Kesef. No, Rab Yosef says, the Machlokas in our Mishnah, the Machlokas in the Braitha, rather, between Rebbe and the Chachamim, is where the freedom is done with money. Rebbe Sala V'Hofte Le'Niftasa, Peduya Ve'Ena Peduya, because Rebbe again learns from these words, V'Hofte Le'Niftasa, that it's possible to be bought out halfway. But Rabbanan Sabri Dibatera Kolosh Me'odim, that Rabbanan say not necessarily can you learn anything from that phrase, it's just the standard way of talking, that's how Lashon Kodesh works, so that's how the Pasuk phrases it.
Lashon
Me'odim, yeah, that's when they spoke Lashon. Yeah, and then when they spoke Lashon Kodesh in those days, that's how people would speak. This is a machloek in many places in Shas, when you have a double expression like that, whether we're meant to learn something from the double expression or whether Dibatera Kolosh Me'odim. But Rabbi Yosef says, no, if the Eved is being freed with a shtar, everybody would agree that no, it's no good to do it with half a shtar. Even Rabbi would agree to that. Meisvid, everyone says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, I'm a shachar chassi avdi v'shtar, Rabbi Yemek konav achamim loikona. Another Braisa says that if somebody's a shachar half his slave with a shtar, Rabbi says yes, and Rechamim say no. Jilta did Rabbi Yosef. That's a clear contradiction of Rabbi Yosef. Jilta. Yes, it's a contradiction. Okay, next. Name of the shtar who deplete. The anatomy. So we make of that contradiction, in other words, that we can't accept the Rebbe Yosef's explanation of the Machlokes. We have to go with Rabbi's explanation. Next,
it's valid. It has a use.
However, name of the shtar, however, since we have the second Braita saying that they're arguing about a shtar, does that imply they do not argue about money? In that case, maybe we have a double upschlag against Rabbi Yosef. Number one, Rabbi Yosef was saying that Rabbi Yosef had said two things. That when it comes to a shtar, Rabbi agrees that you can't have by hand. And number two, that when it comes to money, everybody would agree that it is. Now, first of all, we had a braisa saying that Rebbe says with a shtar it can be, I have. So that contradicts the one thing that Rabbi Yosef said. Can we say that this braisa, by implication, also contradicts the other thing that he said, that the kesef, everybody would agree, it's fine. Otherwise, the machlokas should have been the shtar or the kesef.
We have a
brass,
so we have to count.
Wait. The answer is, Omalach Rabbi Yosef, not necessarily, because Rabbi Yosef could answer you, Tzugi b'shtar, but who are din b'kesef? Rabbi Yosef could say that actually they're arguing on both cases. Not like Rabbi says that they're arguing only on shtar, but they both agree that kesef can be done by hab. Rabbi Yosef, fine, now that we've slugged up Rabbi Yosef's previous version, now Rabbi Yosef can say, from the second brass, you can't prove that they don't argue about kesef. They do argue about shtar. They also argue about kesef. Why? So why are they only arguing in the second braisa using about a shtar? Because we want to tell you how far Rebbe goes. That even with a shtar, Rebbe will say it goes by half. How much more so by kesef? Why instead doesn't the braisa phrase it in terms of kesef and tell us how far the rabbanon would go? That even with kesef they don't accept it, and certainly not bashtar. The answer is, as the Gemara says in a few places, koyach de'atera obviously, that we would rather show the koyach of the one who is matir. The Rashi explains in the beginning. Rashi, the one who is matir, the one who is doing more of a heter. The fact that Rebbe is saying there's more of a possibility of making chetzi ever the chetzi b'chorin is a kula. And Rashi explains at the beginning of Beitza, you don't want, the case of the person who's machmir, you could say he's being machmir because he's not sure. The one who's being machmir, obviously he knows what he's saying. Therefore, we want to be able to show how far he's going. We had this concept before. Yeah, we had it in Beitza. That's it. Toshma. Come, let's bring a proof. Another branch says the Hofde, when the Pasuk says and that she was bought out, Yochol Lakol, you would think maybe that means that all of her is, again, we're talking about the Shivcha Harufa. We're trying to figure out what a Shivcha Harufa is, what's the definition. When the Pasuk says the Hofde, she was freed, maybe it means completely freed, and now she's engaged to an Eved Ivri.
Maybe the pasuk goes like this:
she is a shivcha who's necherefes, who's mekudesh to a man. Vahofte lo nifdasa, uchuf shalanitma. Maybe you would understand if you only had the word vahofte, you would understand she was a shivcha. Now she's been freed, and now she's engaged to an eved ivri. Tamad loymer, lo nifdasa. No, therefore the pasuk continues, she wasn't freed. If we only had the word "loin nifdasi," you would think she wasn't freed at all. She's a full ship. Okay, said p'duya ve'ena p'duya. What does that mean? She's freed but not completely freed. The kesef of a shava kesef. That the money or something that's the equivalent of money was given for part of her but not for the whole thing. The aim of the other kesef. Now we would only know that applies with money. The shtaminai. How do we know that you can do a half freedom with kesef? The shtaminai. How do we know the same thing can apply with a shtar, a half freedom? Tamad lamer v'hafter lenifdasa and chupshan lenitanla ula halon oim because of lost sefer krisis. Any other kesef shtaminai doesn't mean how do we know it can be done by hands? How do we know just as we learn from the words v'hafter lenifdasa that she can be freed with money, completely, that is. How do we know also that an eved or a shivcha can be freed with a shtar? Or it says freedom was not given to her. What's law? Well, the halon oim v'chas of law sefer krisus. By a guess, it says he gives her a sefer krisus. Mala halon b'shtar afkan b'shtar. So just like a sefer krisus is a shtar, so also here a shivcha can be freed with a shtar.
From law.
From law. And v'ein li'el chetzi b'kesef al kulo b'shtar. So you would only know from that a person can be freed half with kesef or completely with shtar. Chetzi b'shtaminayin. How do we know that half a slave can be freed with a shtar? Tamalayim v'hafdeh l'nifdasa v'chuf shen l'nifdasa. Makish shtar l'kesef, which means we're making a hekish. So we're using both the Zeder Shava and the hekish. We're making a hekish. Makesef ben kulubet chetzi afshtar nami ben kulubet chetzi. Just like money can be half or the whole thing, so also a shtar. So bishlem l'Rab Yosef v'atadei ta'usav ha'mani rabbi. So according to Rab Yosef's second version, after we slugged up his first version, fine, we would say this last price, it goes according to Rebbe. He's saying that Rebbe holds both with kesef and with shtar that it can be done by hab. Good, that's exactly what the Braita is telling us. El Rabba Reisha Divrei Hakol Sefer Rebbe. According to Rabba, what are you going to tell me? The first part of the Braita that's using the Zeder Shava would be according to the Rabbanan, and the second part that all of a sudden starts using the Hekesh would be according to Rebbe? Braita don't usually work like that.
Yeah,
Yes, fine. The beginning of the Braita is like a Rabbanon. The end is like a Rebbe. No big deal. Rav Ashi Yomer, Rebbe. Rav Ashi says, not necessarily. You don't need that. You could say the whole thing goes according to Rebbe. What it is Rebbe would hold, again, Rebbe would hold like Rabbi Yosef. According to what Rabbi Yosef is saying, Rebbe would hold that in both cases he's koine. Oh, no, sorry. Rabbi would say that the, Rabbi would say there's a machlokus when it comes, let me try that again. Rebbe would say that in both cases, a half thing is enough, but Rabbanon are the ones who argue with him by a shtar. Rabbi was saying that Rebbe holds it can be done half by shtar, and everybody agrees it can be done half by kesef. Fine, then Rabbanon disagree with him. So the whole b'risa could be like Rebbe, even according to Rabbi, because Rabbi himself says that yes, Rebbe would hold that it can be done by halves with both. You don't need to say half of it is according to Rabbanon and half of it is according to Rebbe. According to Rabbi, you could say the whole thing is according to Rebbe. So fine, let's now return to our Mishnah that you were talking about a person who's half free and half slave. Fine, Rabbi could say he was freed with money, and everybody would agree, both the Rabbanon and Rebbe would agree that can be done. According to Rabbi Yosef, would we have to say that our Mishnah is only according to Rebbe and not according to the Rabbanon? Because according to the Rabbanon, according to Rabbi Yosef's understanding now, how they say that both with Kesef and Mishtar can't be done by Ham. How do you have a Chetzi ever Chetzi and Chorin from our Mishnah? Very simple. It's an ever that belongs to two partners. And in that case, one of them freed him, and everybody would agree, even the Rabbanon would agree, since he only had half ownership of him to begin with, so therefore, if he frees him, whether it was Kesef or was Shah, yes, he took away his whole ownership of it.
Initially,
he belongs to both, right.
Then he would agree.
So then even the Rabbanon would agree that it is possible to have that one of them free him and the other one is not. So usually, up until now, it would have been he's working for one day and the other the next day.
And the same problem again, you know.
No, because there he's complete Evan. Now, when one of them freed him, now you have the problem that he can't marry any. That's what the Mishnah is saying. That therefore, Beis Shammai says that you need to force his second master to free him, and they still agree to that. Yeah.